All right, then. If you scroll up to Sunday, June 19th, 2005, a little short message from the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the ones who know their Father, for they know the reason they rejoice. Their joy is one, because it is whole and complete as it has always been, so it is perfect. Rise up today, my brothers, and hold hands within your hearts. Love one another. In so doing, you give the gift of love to your Father. Be at peace and rest in contentment with one another. All is well as only it could ever be. Peace abides in you today and forever. Amen. So it sounds like a little prayer that the Holy Spirit gave us, something very similar to what Jesus said to the apostles, the night of the Passover, right? He's asking us to love one another. It's that simple. Love one another. So I'm willing to do that. How about you guys? I think we do a lot of that here. A very simple but very beautiful message. Let's scroll on up. The word today is love. That's the next message we're going to read from Monday, June 20th, 2005. The word I give you today is love. In your world, it seems to be a word that is sometimes used correctly and sometimes used incorrectly. It seems to be an emotion or an action. It may seem to be real or unreal based on personal experience. Some may seem to be blessed to have it, and others may seem to be left out of this blessing, lonely and suffering. Love is none of these things. You are love. But to understand the meaning beyond these words, you must first accept that you have forgotten the meaning of these words. Forget what you know of love to remember what you know. Forget all that you know of the world and of yourself to remember what you know of life and of your true self. Be willing not to know anything, and you will realize that you know everything. Forget in order to remember. Trust in order to learn what you already know. That is how you will seem to discover who you are, which is knowledge that is with you today. Peace be with you. Go within. It is very clear to me now that this was a message that was given to me in preparation for receiving the calling for NTI. Very, very clear to me. Because, first of all, right in the calling to write NTI, there's the words that... NTI is for one who has forgotten what love is, who recognizes he has forgotten what love is. And those words are right in the calling, that's why NTI is given to us, but it's only helpful to us when we take that first step, being willing to recognize that we've forgotten what love is. If we're willing to acknowledge that and then go into NTI, then NTI has something to offer. But if we go into NTI thinking that we know what love is, maybe we'll miss it. So that idea is right there in the calling to write NTI. But then also, when I wrote NTI, as you all know, what I had to do was I had to completely clear my mind. After reading a particular section of the New Testament, any ideas that came into my mind while I was reading, any judgments, any interpretations, I had to completely clear. I had to completely realize I didn't know anything about what I just read. That those words, I didn't know anything, that those words had no meaning to me. And when I could get down to where I don't know anything and all I want is what the Holy Spirit wants to tell me, then that's when the dictation would come. So you can see that this message is really, really preparing me for that calling to arrive, because it's telling me everything I need to know. It's telling me that I have to realize I don't know what love is, and it's telling me that I have to be able to realize I don't know anything, which really were the two key components that were necessary for me to do that work. But also we can see how this message is necessary for awakening, because it's just as true for each and every one of us for awakening. You know, it's also reminiscent of NTI 1 Corinthians, the request that we become the empty shell, to let go of everything except for trust in order to receive fully that which the Holy Spirit has to give us. I think this is really important for our mind, so I'm going to read this again. The word I give you today is love. In your world, it seems to be a word that is sometimes used correctly and sometimes used incorrectly. It seems to be an emotion or an action. It may seem to be real or unreal based on a personal experience. Some may seem to be blessed to have it, and others may seem to be left out of this blessing, lonely and suffering. Love is none of these things. You are love. But to understand the meaning... Sorry, my computer just scrolled way too far. I'm going to scroll back up. Okay, here we go. You are love. But to understand the meaning beyond these words, you must first accept that you have forgotten the meaning of these words. Forget what you know of love to remember what you know. Forget all that you know of the world and of yourself to remember what you know of life and of your true self. Be willing not to know anything, and you will realize that you know everything. Forget in order to remember. Trust in order to learn what you already know. That is how you will seem to discover who you are, which is knowledge that is with you today. Peace be with you. Go within. Also, once again, the Holy Spirit is telling me to go within, so that seems to be a very consistent theme given to me during this time of my life. If we scroll up now to Tuesday... Oops, Steve's back. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, she logged in as Tarian or something like that, it seems like. I think her first name is Rihanna or something like that, Rihanna. She was saying last week, she did a teaching or sharing on, somebody told her she was afraid of love, and it was funny because I actually got that message at that first Holy Spirit weekend in June, or end of May or June, that I got three things. It's like, we kind of are afraid of God's love, because if we would ever really accept the God's unconditional love, we wouldn't want anything to do with this dream, you know. But on the other hand, what the stronger message was, like, we're afraid of the substitute for God's love that we made, you know. And that's what I was hearing, the message that you got there was, like, you're afraid of what you think love is, because what you think you experience in the dream that's called love isn't really love. You know, it's just the ego substitute, and you have every right to be afraid of it because it's really painful. It was surprising because I know I sang that song to you, The Rose, the other day, or last week or last month or something like that, or the month before, but I was hearing Wayne Dyer was on PBS for some kind of fundraiser, and he was talking about Taoism, but then he had some woman that came out and sang The Rose, and it's like, that's what I was getting, that same message. It's like, some say love, it is a river that drowns a tender reed. Some said love, it is a razor that leaves your souls a plead. Some say love is a hunger and endless aching need, which is, I think, pretty much in line with the Course, you know. Others say love is a flower that in you its only seed, and I won't sing the rest of them, but I don't even say the rest of them. But that's the thing, that's actually what we think love is, seems to be, when I was hearing you read that, a block to the awareness of real love's presence, you know, because what passes for love is really distorted through the ego's perception or the ego filters or whatever, you know. And I remember reading a book many years ago when I was in high school in the 70s, it was talking about, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, and this woman committed her niece to the mental institution because she said God told her to, and it was in the name of love, and it was in her own best interest, and that's why, you know, a lot of what passes for love in this dream, so it was really interesting when I heard you read that, because what seems like we use the word love for wouldn't really be, I don't think, what Holy Spirit would use the word love for. You know, the word love is actually what we've made it into in the dream, is almost a block to the awareness of love's presence, or real love's presence, you know, and the only way we can see that is to let go, like you said, be the empty shell, or people say let go or let God. I don't know if you read the part about lest you become as little children and realize your total dependence on God, but it's like, if we think we
you, Steve. And I thought, you know, maybe just jumping ahead. Actually, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead or not, because I don't know where this is on reginadonacres.com or if I even posted it there. But I have mentioned the calling I received to write NTI a few times tonight. I thought that I might just go and read that calling to you. So I'm hopping over to another website where I know where it's at. You guys will just have to listen, but it's very short. But this is the message that I received. It says I received it on June 18th, so either that was an error in my mind when I told Phil that I received it on June 18th, or else I didn't post it on reginadonacres.com. That's also very possible. But I do know I received it in mid-June because I received it before I left Boston. I remember where I was sitting when I got it, so I did receive it in mid-June. But let me receive the calling that I got from the Holy Spirit. The New Testament is a symbol, just as you are a symbol, and the words I share through you are a symbol. What they point to is truth. In order to understand the symbol, one must accept the love of Christ. One prepares himself to accept that love by recognizing he does not understand the symbol, and then he asks for understanding. By opening up to receive understanding without judgment, he opens up to accept the love of Christ. With that love comes Christ's knowledge, for they are the same and inseparable. Then the meaning that is beyond the words is understood as a light that shines for all who look to see. Those who have ears now will listen. For others, salvation will wait. There is no loss in God. Ask and you will receive, because it will be given you. It is a gift of love given to one who recognizes he has forgotten love, and so he asks that its remembrance be given him in grace and love. Love cannot say no to a request for love. Go now and ask. It will be given you. So that's the exact message that I received from the Holy Spirit that I understood was asking me to read the New Testament and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret it for me. So that's the calling that ended up in what we call NTI. Again, I received it in mid-June, but what happened within a couple of weeks is I moved. And there was, you know, it takes time to move. It takes time to get settled. I was also taking over as caretaker of David Hoffmeister's foundation. So he came to my new house in North Carolina and spent a couple of weeks training me. So I was very busy. And then at the end of that, shortly after David left, I was going on a vacation. So the plan in my mind, of course, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. But the plan in my mind was that when I got back from this vacation, I would begin this work. But as some of you know, what happened on the vacation, the second morning of the vacation, is I was woken up very early in the morning, and I heard Holy Spirit to tell me to go and begin the work now. And I didn't even have a Bible with me, but I walked out into the living room where I was staying, and there was a Bible right there in plain view. So I sat down in the early morning before anybody else was awake and did the work. And I started it, and I worked on it every day on that vacation, and then just came back and continued for, you know, another 13 and a half months. So you know, that's how NTI came to be. All right, so if we go back to reginadonacres.com, we have 4 more minutes left. There's a real short message here. I think we have time for it. It's called "The Truth Will Set You Free." The truth will set you free. These words ring true because you are free. It is your choice to choose what you will believe. And your choice is everything, because your belief is everything. Do not misunderstand me. You cannot make truth, and truth will always exist awaiting your return to it. But you can make your experience, and your experience will be real for you. So this is your seeming choice. Do you choose to continue to experience illusions because you find value there? Or are you ready to let go of illusions and accept the truth as it is? I say again, truth will set you free. And I ask, What is your desire now? Is it freedom? Now? Or do you desire something else first? I definitely remember getting that message because I was going through sadness and maybe even some regrets and some fears, more sadness and fears. I was going through sadness and fears about leaving my job, leaving Boston, and following the Holy Spirit. Because you got to remember, now I've been doing it for a couple of years and I'm pretty okay with it, but you got to remember, this was all new to me. I had a good job. I was used to supporting myself. I was, sure, I've been reading A Course in Miracles for a year, but but my life was still a very traditional life. And then I had this voice in my mind, right, asking me to leave my job and move to this new location. And now we're getting within 2 weeks of making that change. So you can imagine the fear started rushing up. I mean, just imagine. I mean, I'm a single mother, and I'm not even the kind of single mother that has an ex-husband somewhere paying alimony. I mean, the only means of financial support that Jez and I have ever had is the financial support that I provided. And now, without knowing what's going to happen, without any knowledge at all of what's going to happen, I'm walking away from all of that. And so I started getting very, very scared. Lots of fear started coming up, and lots of sadness. There was sadness too. I was doing a lot of crying during this time, things I was letting go of, friends I was letting go of, a job, a company that I loved that I was letting go of, a town that I lived in that I loved. I loved living in Acton, Massachusetts, that I was letting go of. Lots of sadness was coming up. So you can hear then how important this message was for me. Especially that last paragraph where the Holy Spirit says, I say again, the truth will set you free. And I ask, what is your desire now? Is it freedom now, or do you desire something else first? And when I heard that, I remember I answered it, no, I do not desire anything else. I don't. I'm going to go with you, Holy Spirit. And that enabled me to just to keep right on walking for that next 2 weeks, quit that job, move, do everything that I needed to do when I was reminded to put my true desire back in the front of my mind. When I was thinking I wanted financial security, thinking I wanted my friends, thinking I wanted my hometown, that's when the upset was coming, the sadness, the fear. But when I remembered what I truly wanted, those things were still there, but they weren't as strong. They weren't ruling me anymore. And I was able to move forward in a lot more confidence and a lot more joy. So a very important message. In fact, I'm almost crying now just out of gratitude for that message because it was so important for me at that time. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. So that's it for that particular page. I just want to see what's next, because I don't think is there anybody after me, Dub? I don't think so. So if it's something I feel like I want to do, we can do it, right? What is it? Rest is a worthy endeavor. Nah, you know what? Nope, yes. Make up your mind, Dub. Nope, there's nobody after me. Yes, we can continue. That's what you're saying, right? Yep. But as I'm looking at this, for some reason I'm feeling like it should wait. Maybe it's the beginning of another theme, and it's better to look at all of those sets of messages together. So my feeling is that we should not go into the next set of messages. We should just stop here. So that's what we'll do. We'll trust that. And here comes Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
I'm surprised you can hear that sometimes. Can't hear that at all. But what I was hearing was like something we read in that Dream Rolls last week. It's the dreams you think you like that actually hold you back more than the dreams you're afraid of. They seem to be subtle. So it did take a lot of trust on your part to let go of everything that seemed to be. I mean, they talk about, and Gary and I talked about Elvis Presley and, Marilyn Monroe seemingly thinking they had everything in the world, but still there was some lack that they felt, There was a sense of lack that they didn't feel complete somehow, some way, shape, or form, whether it was Holy Spirit speaking to them or what. But it's like you said, it seemed like you had everything in the dream and you were kind of giving up everything just to trust in the Holy Spirit that there's some other happiness out there that you might like more than that, And it was like, it might seem like it took a long time, 13 and a half months.
Whoops, are you still there, Steve? Okay, I think we lost Steve.
Oh, really?
Oh, whoops! You're back, but you scared me, and I dropped the phone.
I was still talking. I don't know what happened. Maybe you muted me on that end or something. I don't know.
No, I didn't, but it's so funny when you spoke again, you scared me, and I dropped the phone. Okay, go ahead, Steve. Whoops, are you talking now? Steve, if you can hear me, I can't hear you again. So something's up. And I haven't pressed any buttons. I'm not sure what it is. It could just be line issues. However, while Steve was talking, I was reminded of a movie I watched today. I sat down with baby Grace today while she was taking a nap, and I let her sleep next to me, and I watched a movie. Many of you have probably seen this movie. It's called City of Angels. And it was a wonderful movie because it is about, of course, an angel. And what happens is that the angel falls in love with a human. And he decides near the end of the movie to fall from grace, is the way we would say it, or fall from heaven and become human so that he can be with her. And what happens within just a few hours is that she's hit by a truck and killed. And so, of course, he suffers enormous, enormous heartbreak. And, you know, certainly what I thought of as I was watching that movie is that, you know, the illusions that we become attached to, truly attached to, that we think we need them for our happiness, those are the illusions that have the power to hurt us. And this is also in A Course in Miracles. So it is really important that although we will still have things in the world, including, obviously, relationships. As long as you're in the world, you're going to have what seems to be relationships. It is very important not to be attached to them and that we think we need them for our happiness, because anything that we're attached to in that way can hurt us, and that was very evident in watching the movie City of Angels. And that's what Steve was talking about, so that just popped into my mind as he was speaking. Of course, what I want to do, you know what? I do want to do something, since Dove said I can. I'm not going to read anything from reginadonacres.com because I did feel like it was time to stop, but I'm just going to take a couple minutes and read the message that Holy Spirit gave me today. I think it's great for me to review it one more time before I go to bed. If you want to, just go to the homepage on reginadonacres.com and you can read along. Right there, because it was posted today. Oh, I noticed Lord Blue has his hand up. Lord Blue, please go ahead. Question: the little stories you remember about each Holy Spirit message, how it occurred, when was it, and what situation you were in, all these stories are helpful to the awakening in the now, or are they kind of attachments to the past? That's a very, very good question. First of all, I'll tell you that the way Holy Spirit guides came about was through requests. I had many, many, many requests from people, not just one. What they actually wanted me to do was write a book, many of them, but I didn't feel to write a book. But people wanted to hear this entire path from the beginning. So I had many, many requests. Usually people asking me to write a book, and I just wasn't feeling that guidance. And then one day somebody said something about it, said they wanted to just start at the beginning of Regina Don Acres again and read everything. And when this person said that, it clicked in my mind that would be great, because I hadn't gone back and read this stuff either. So that would be great, and that's what started this hour that we spend every other week doing that. Just the many, many requests to go back and look at the whole path. So that's the reason. But what happens for me, Lord Blue, when I go back and I look over this, is an experience of now rather than an attachment. Usually what I find in these messages, first of all, I experience enormous appreciation, enormous gratitude, because I look at these old messages that came when I was, you know, an infant, an infant on this path, and I see that Holy Spirit has always, always been consistent. You know, the same thing He said to me in June 2005 is what He said to me on Sunday. And that seeing that consistency, seeing that the messages then and the messages now are really the same in content, gives me enormous gratitude, And an enormous confidence, I'm going to call it, enormous confidence and enormous trust in that inner voice. So in that way, it continues to be helpful. Also, what I seem to find is that whatever I'm currently working on in my mind, I often see within the messages that we happen to read this week. So it seems to be the less, of course, why not? Because the Holy Spirit's wholly consistent, but it seems to always be an echo of the same message of now. So, to be honest, it doesn't seem to be any difference to me between past messages of the Holy Spirit and current messages of the Holy Spirit. It's all the same. It's really all the same. And the stories, of course, again, were just requested by people. They put a little content around the message, but it's all Holy Spirit, and the message is completely consistent. So, I think it's all perfect, to be honest, Lord Blue. But thanks for the question. Thanks for the question. I think I hear Steve again. Steve, are you going to try to talk? If he is talking, I can't hear him. I can't hear you, Steve. I don't even know where my mute button is on this thing. Let me hit this just to see. It does not say you're muted. Now it says you're muted, and now it says you're not muted. Can you talk?
I can talk. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, I think you hit the mute button. I don't know, but that was perfect because if something came up for you, that was really good. I've only can unmute and mute myself.
Oh, well, stop. They're not hearing sound. Wait, stop. They're not hearing us.
Okay.
No sound, Regina.
Right, well,
okay,
hold on.
Yeah, they're not hearing us. I'm going to go out and go back in.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, can you hear me now? Every time I say that, I laugh because I think of that commercial. Okay, Steve.
Yeah, that Verizon
commercial. Yeah. Okay, Steve, go ahead. We're back on.
Okay, well, I think what some of us like, and I'm just speaking for myself, I don't know if anybody else likes it, but it seems like sometimes the course makes it seem like this stuff should happen instantaneously as soon as you change your mind. And I think what some of us seem to enjoy about what you share is that it didn't happen instantaneously for you, and it doesn't seem to happen instantaneously for me. There's always a little bit of letting go or a process, something like that. And I know there's a couple of times you said it took like 6 months or a year and a half before you actually could accept what the Holy Spirit's telling you. And I think that's been my experience. You know, I might have to hear things a number of times before I actually accept it as an experience rather than just hear it as an intellectual idea. So I think that's what some of us really like about this Holy Spirit guides part, more so than some of the other parts, because it's more about the process that you're sharing that you went through rather than just, you know, reading something. And it seems like when you do read NTI and stuff like that, it seems like Holy Spirit reminds you of quite a few things that were going on at the time too. So I think that's all helpful, you know, that it, some of the things that you seem to be reminded of are things that you could actually apply what you were writing to in the moment. And I think for me, that's what's helpful. It's like when things show up in the dream that actually give you a chance to apply this kind of stuff. And the process, too, is kind of fun. You know, it's like, it doesn't seem like it happens instantaneously for me. I mean, just because I recognize there's a problem, it doesn't seem like the correction comes that quick, you know. And the one thing you were saying earlier, too, way back when, in the beginning when I was listening about, some people seem to be verbally attacking you and stuff like that, or writing emails that seem attacking and stuff like that. Well, I think you were showing a lot of trust way back then, too, you know, and not letting go of doing what you were doing. I mean, it could seem like even at that time, some people might have been perceiving you as a raving lunatic, but you still trusted anyway, you know. And I think that's the message I got from what you were sharing about Jesus' crucifixion, is that a lot of people thought he was just some crazy guy out there talking nonsense, you know, but he trusted the Holy Spirit to have that willingness to be perceived as a raving lunatic and still trust. So I think that's all helpful. So thanks for letting me share. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, as I was saying, what I would like to do before I close is just read the message that I received today from Holy Spirit one more time. I think it's great to read it over again before I go to bed, but it's also a great, great message. So, again, it's right at reginadonacres.com, so maybe you're there, right at the homepage. It's called The Decision to Be the Holy Spirit. And this is one of those days I didn't have a question. Holy Spirit just told me to grab my notebook, and the dictation started right away. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to walk in the world but be only of mind. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to be only that which is helpful to awakening. and to decide to let anything else, anything that is not helpful, go. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. This decision is not magical. It is only a recognition of who you are and what you want. Who are you? You are love. What is it that you want? You desire only to know yourself, which also means that you do not want to think yourself to be that which you are not. Thinking is your greatest obstacle to knowing, because thinking is an obstacle that thinks it is knowing. That is like saying the personality is the greatest obstacle to knowing yourself, because you think you are the personality. As long as you choose the obstacles, you choose to block the truth. If you are ready to know only the truth, you must also be willing to say goodbye to the obstacles. This is a readiness you are acquiring, and it is growing in you each day. There is a fear in the mind about letting go, because the mind tells itself that it does not know where it will fall when it lets go. But if you look carefully within your heart, within your knowing, you do know where you will fall. You will fall into yourself, which is not falling at all. You will just be, and you will be in joy and confidence and knowing. There is nothing to fear in choosing to be yourself. Look carefully now at all of the fears that are rattling through the mind. Notice how little those fears are to you, how much they do not matter when you compare them to the vision of you being as the knowledge of you. Look, notice, feel for your heart. Through this simple practice, you notice, and therefore you teach, that you are more ready to let go of the unimportant than your fears would have you believe. Teach yourself that you are ready by looking carefully and noticing this is true. That's very reminiscent of one of these last messages that I read to you, the one that I said was helpful in getting me to let go of my fears and my sadness and, you know, quit my job and drive away from Boston. Only now, of course, the Holy Spirit is asking, you know, me, us, to do more than quit my job and drive away from Boston. He's asking us to let go of the personality and to let go of thinking, to let go of that. But it's the same idea. In fact, you could say quitting the job and driving away from Boston was practice. It's the same idea. It's recognizing that although the fears are there, the fears are nothing compared to my true desire. It's kind of measuring the two. You know, you get out your measuring stick and you measure the fears, and then you measure the desire, the true desire, and you go, whoa, that true desire is big. Those fears are tiny. I'm going with the true desire. That's really the message here. So a beautiful, beautiful message received today from Holy Spirit. Again, posted at reginadonacres.com. It's possible that Laurent will teach this message tomorrow. I didn't get to talk to him much today, but he seemed to be thinking that he might. He does teach tomorrow from 1 to 2:30 Eastern Time. And then I am back for NTI Study Group on Friday from 2 to 3 Eastern Time. And then Jasmine is here from 3 to 3:30 for reading NTI Mark. So that's it from North Carolina and Wisconsin, since Steve's on the phone. And we'll see you guys tomorrow when Laurent is teaching. And I think Faye is probably right before Laurent if there hasn't been any change. Faye's usually at 12. She's in the room. So we'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.